Parshas HaChodesh and Parshas Vayakel and Pekudei. Parshas HaChodesh is the last of the special four parshiot that we add to the Torah readings. Of course, there's Shkalim, Zohar, Para, and Chodesh. So now we're reading Parshas HaChodesh this week. Of course, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is almost upon us. And we read this in preparation for the great Yom Tov that's coming up, that we're all busily preparing for. Now, in addition to Parshas HaChodesh, of course, this is a double Parsha. We're reading Vayakel and Pekudei, which deal with the Mishkan. What we are going to focus on primarily today is Parshas HaChodesh. It is taken from Parshas Bo, which is on page 340. And we are going to look through... We are going to look through this perek, which is Perek Yud Beis. But before we start looking into Perek Yud Beis and identifying our topic of the day, we will begin with a question that arises from Perek Yud Aleph. One of the things that we will deal with philosophically is the concept of when the great miracle of the Giloy Shechina, the revelation of Hashem Shechina in its clearest possible form, when exactly that took place. Now, it seems very clear that there was a designated time. If you look in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalid, Vayomer Moshe, Ko Amar Hashem, Kechatzos Halayla Ani Yotze B'soch Mitzrayim. Around Chatzos, Kechatzos. About Chatzos, I will be revealed in the midst of Mitzrayim. Kechatzos. Now, first of all, Kechatzos means about Chatzos. And the basic question we're going to have here, because we're going to discuss this concept of Chatzos Halayla, why did Moshe say Kechatzos, around Chatzos? And Rashi tells us why he was not more specific, why Moshe didn't say specifically, Bechatzos, at the moment of Chatzos, Hashem will be revealed in Mitzrayim. And we learn from here that maybe, if you look in the Rashi, he was afraid that the astrologers of Paro would make a mistake because they wouldn't be exactly able to determine when the second of Chatzos is, and then they'll call Moshe a liar. So Moshe didn't want to say B'chatzos, but however, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows all the moments of the world, in other words, who is meticulous with time, Hashem actually did say B'chatzos, at Chatzos. So what we will focus on eventually is when it took place, and why is Moshe concerned that the astrologers might not have their clocks right? And therefore, they're going to say, you lied. It wasn't Bachatzos, it was Kachatzos. I mean, if it is Chatzos, and Hashem knows when Chatzos is, and Hashem does the miracle at Chatzos, then Moshe has nothing to worry about from the Mitzrayim. So that's the first thing we have to talk about, and we will get to it. But before we get to that question, Perek Yud Beis. What we are going to look at in Parshas HaChodesh is the specific mitzvah regarding not only the Korban Pesach, which a number of psukim are devoted to, but also how the Korban Pesach is eaten, and that it must be eaten with matzos, and the issur of chametz, and the mitzvah of matzah. This is what we're going to spend some time on, because what we'll talk about today is how the Giloy Shechina of Chatzos Halayla demands that there be no chametz and only matzah. Eating matzah and being forbidden from eating even a speck of chametz is because of the Giloy Shechina that takes place at Chatzos. One directly creates the other. Chatzos creates an isur on chametz and a mitzvah on matzah. So if we understand Chatzos, we begin to understand chametz and matzah. So looking into the perek. Perek Yud Beis. Number one, the perek starts out with establishing that this month Nisan is the beginning of the year for the Jewish people. The Jewish history is counted from Nisan. Creation of the world, of course, is counted from Tishrei. But the Jewish history and everything involving the Jewish nation counts from Nisan. This month is not part of the previous month. It's a new beginning. It's not part of a hemshech, a continuum. It's a new start. This is the beginning. And they have to, firstly, in the beginning of this month, take a seh. And there are a lot of halachos dealing with the seh that they must take. But look in Pasuk Yud Aleph. This is how you must eat the seh, eat the Korban Pesach. Belt buckled, shoes on, staff in your hand. V'achaltem oso b'chipazon. There is a special mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach. What does b'chipazon mean?
Yes.
Quickly, as if you're in a rush. Now, were they in a rush? They were not in a rush. When did they actually leave Mitzrayim? The next morning. Be'etzem hayom hazeh. In the daytime. It is clear that they left in the daytime because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want it to be that they should sneak out in the middle of the night, guilty, you know, as if there's some type of illegal maneuver here and they're escaping. They went out in the daytime, full sun. So why do they eat b'chipazon? This is part of the concept of matzah and chametz and chatzos. Because if you think about it, what do they all have in common? Chatzos is a time. The difference between chametz and matzah is a time. B'chipazon is to eat it quickly as if you're beating the clock. These all revolve around time. So we eat it b'chipazon. And when they eat the matzah, when they eat the Pesach with the matzah, b'chipazon, what happens in Pasuk Yud Beis? Ve'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim, b'layla hazeh. I myself, and there is a strong emphasis here as we read in the Haggadah, ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo sarf, I Hashem, b'chvodi u'ba'atzmi, in my own self, revealed, as much as that's possible, I will come into Mitzrayim, avarti be'eretz, I'll pass through, smite all firstborns from man until animal, and do wonders against the so-called gods of the Mitzrayim, ani Hashem. And as this is taking place outside their houses, and they're eating matzah and korban pesach v'chipazon in their houses, vayahadam lachem laos, the blood will be at this time for them for a sign. The blood, most people know, was not brushed on the outside of the house to inform the malach, because the malach doesn't. In fact, my 5-year-old asked me that this week. Wasn't the malach smart enough to know who was Jewish and who wasn't Jewish without the blood? The blood was inside. It was laos lachem. It is for the people sitting in the houses as a sign that they now look at that blood, which came from their Korban Pesach, that they are sitting and eating b'chipazon, as Hashem is now smiting the Egyptians. And when they look at that blood on their doorposts, they strengthen themselves. They affirm to themselves who they are, what they've dedicated themselves to, what they believe in, where they will now, you know, split up really and change direction from where they were going, move off in a new direction from the rest of the world, from the rest of history, what they've committed themselves to. That's their sign in their house that they look at as they're sitting and eating the Korban Pesach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu then, of course, does the Nisim. And here, look at Pasuk Tesvav. Because of this, Shivas Yamim Matzos Tochelu, Ach Bayom Arishon Tashvisu, Sho'orim Mibatechem, Ki Kol Ochel Chometz, V'nichursa HaNefesh Ahi Miyisrol. You must eat matzah because of this. And whoever eats chometz, it's Chayiv Kares. It is the worst, well, among the worst possible Averus eat chametz on Pesach. Now, this is well before they ran out of Mitzrayim and their dough didn't have time to rise. Eating matzah in their houses at Chatzos had nothing to do with the fact that the matzah didn't rise the next morning. They were eating matzah because of Chatzos, and they were eating matzah because they had emuna that there one day would be a yantav, and one day that yantav would be the proper Pesach. Not the Pesach of huddling in their huts, hearing screaming outside. There would one day be a proper Pesach. And in that proper Pesach, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they would remember how when they left Mitzrayim, their dough didn't rise. So they're sitting here, realize, eating matzah with the emuna that the miracle would happen, which would eventually be commemorated. But it didn't happen yet. So they're eating matzah because of something real to them. Not only the emuna of the future, but they're eating matzah because of something about chatzos, about chippazon. That's why they're eating matzah. Eventually, matzah became related to many things. Notice it at the Seder. In the beginning of the Seder, you pick up the matzah and say, Ha lachma anya. The matzah is bread of affliction. It's bread of servitude. It's bread of being a slave. And then something changes. Something changes at chatzos, right? And then we eat the matzah, and it's all of a sudden Korban Pesach. And then all of a sudden it's the matzah eventually of Cherus. It's the matzah of free men. What happens? What happens here? The matzah changes from reflecting our life as slaves to reflecting the fact that Hashem revealed Himself and there was such a powerful Gilui Shechina that the people didn't even have the Egyptians pushed them out and their dough didn't rise. Okay, so there's something about the matzahs. Look at Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ushamartem et hamatzos. Be very careful. Ki be'etzem hayom hazeh. Careful with those matzahs, because on this day, not now that they're sitting in their houses eating matzah b'chipazon, but now be careful with the matzahs, because on this day, the next morning, I took you out of Mitzrayim. Again, Pasuk Yutes. 7 days you must not have any of the leavened bread in your houses. Ki kol ochel machmetzes v'nichrusa hanefesh hahi me'adas Yisrael. So the Gilui Shechina we've established clearly from the Pesukim that the revelation of Hashem's glory at that night demands the eating of matzahs and the removal of anything that is chametz. The question really is, why? What's the connection between the two? Well, before we start to discuss the connection between the two things, let's begin to understand what is Chatzos? Why did this all take place at Chatzos? Now, if I say to you, Chatzos Halayla, that's simplistic enough, it's the middle of the night. So let's say, for argument's sake, that the night has 10 hours. It's from, let's say it has 12 hours. It's from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. It has 12 hours. So I say, okay, so when is Chatzos? Well, Chatzos means directly in the middle. So 6 p.m. to midnight, that's 6 hours. And midnight to 6 a.m., that's 6 hours. So midnight, 12 o'clock on the dot, that must be Chatzos. Okay, so 12 o'clock on the dot is Chatzos. So that means 11:59 and 59 seconds is part of the first half of the night. And 12:01 is part of the second half of the night. And 12 o'clock, that 1 second called 12 o'clock, that's Chatzos. But we have a little problem for anyone who's mathematical. That second called 12 o'clock can be divided into two halves, can't it? A half a second and a half a second. In fact, let's be real about it. That second called 12 o'clock is infinitely divisible into a billion parts. And if you want to have an exact amount of time before Chatzos and after Chatzos, it's like telling me, where is the midpoint between my fingers? Give me the Chatzos of these 10 fingers. 5 on this side, 5 on this side. What's in the middle? There's nothing, which means to say, Chatzot Halayla is a supernatural concept. There is exactly the same amount of time before Chatzos. Then Makos Bechoros takes place. Ani yotze betoch Mitzrayim. I come out and be revealed in the midst of Mitzrayim. And then after this whole event, there's exactly the same amount of hours on the other half of Chatzos. So when does Chatzos take place? It takes place lemala min hazman, beyond time. It is not something that the astrologers or astronomers or those who know the times can measure. It's not possible for a human being to measure the events that take place in Chatzos because they don't register on a clock. Because there's really no such thing. Because Chatzos means there's an exact amount of time before the event and exact amount of time after the event. And yet there's the event in the middle. It doesn't happen within the constraints of time. This is the basic premise that Maharal brings down. And the ideas you heard today are pretty much Rav Huttner and Rav Moshe Shapiro. explaining the concept that the Jewish people exist and are born in a time, which isn't a time, limala min hazman, above and beyond the constraints of time. And in that moment comes the secret to our eternity, that we are not victims of time, that we continue with our strength, with our fervor, we have the same goals, the same dreams, we're moving closer to our destiny. We are not subject to the ravages of time like all others. We continue to exist vibrantly, even if it's just a core. The Jewish people exist. That is the secret to our eternity. But the first thing we understand is that part of the Gilui Shechina is the elimination of the constraints of time. And now we begin to go further. Why do these two things go hand in hand? The revelation of Hashem in its clearest form, practically, for humanity to see, and the elimination of the notion of time. Obviously, time is something artificial. Time is something that cannot be included, that cannot be part of a Gilui Shechina. If there's a Gilui Shechina, there's no time. Now, we know that time is a creation. This we know, Bereshis bara Elokim, Chazal say, what did Hashem create? The concept of Bereshis, in the beginning, sequence. Hashem created the concept of a sequence, first, second, third. However, we say regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lisvunaso ein mispar. To Hashem's Tevuna Bina, there's no sequence, there's no numbering system. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't go in a chronological order. We live within past, present and future, but we know Hashem is Hove. There's no such thing as past, present and future for Hashem. It's always Hove, it's always present. You know, for us, and we've mentioned this before, but just to remind you, we talk about the past, the present and the future, right? But we all know that there's no such thing as the present tense, right? You've heard this. Because as I speak to you right now, the words that you are receiving and processing are already a second in the past, never to be retrieved. There is no present. It just moves from the future to the past. You cannot hold anything. We have no hove. Everything that you immediately grasp at this moment is already gone, and it is not something that is maintained, that you can hold on to. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all hove, and one of Hashem's names, and this is not to be confused with Yud Kei Vav Kei, one of Hashem's names is Havaya, all hove. And the next world that we go to, by the way, is all Hove, which means in the sadness of this world. Rav Hirsch explains this in relationship to what we say at for when we talk to an Avol, at a Levaya, we say, Umacha Hashem Dima Me'al Kol Panim. Hashem should wipe away tears from all faces, and Chazal say, Afilu Dimo Shel Simcha, even tears of joy. Rav Hirsch explains that tears of joy come from a very deep sense of the vulnerability of not having a Hove. In other words, that we could be with having a moment of absolute pleasure, a great salvation, a baby after so many years, or a financial reversal for the better, or somebody got married, or a miracle happened, or a Ruafua Shalema, whatever it was, and we're filled with so much joy. However, why do we cry? Because we know that no matter how happy we are, no matter how much pleasure we're experiencing right now, no matter how fulfilled we are at this second, there is no way for us to ensure, to guarantee that we can hold on to that. And that in 2 minutes from now, something won't happen to change everything. There's no way to hold on to anything. Even the most intense form of pleasure we have, we cannot hold on to it. We cannot stop our parents from aging, and we cannot ensure that the baby in our hands will be safe and healthy. We can't be sure, we can't control it. We are living with no present tense, no way to hold on to the present tense. And that's the source of tears. Demo shel simcha. And in the next world, this is all completely different. The whole essence of the next world is, it's a world where every moment is eternal. Every moment is hove. It stays forever. Never passes. Never slips through our fingers. Every moment of our satisfaction and joy in the next world is a constant, everlasting moment. That's really the definition of netzah, everlasting. In any case, when we see that there's a Gilui Shechina, we have eliminated time automatically. Time and the truth of Hashem's presence do not coexist. Time is a creation that we live with and we function with as long as we're alive. But then we get beyond time. And this is a secret to understanding matzah and chametz and why the Giloy Shechina of Chatzos demands that we refrain from chametz and we must eat matzah. If you look at the pasuk, Ushamartem es hamatzos, which is pasuk, pasuk Yud Zayin. Ushamartem es hamatzos ki be'etzem ayom hazeh hotzeisi es tevosecha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Watch the matzos. Do not let them become chametz. Okay. What are the ingredients that go into a matzah? Flour and water. The etzem, the essence of matzah, the taste of flour and water is matzah. What makes it into chametz? Time, of course. Time makes it into chametz. You don't need yeast to make bread rise. You can rise it without, it will rise, it takes a little longer without yeast. In fact, I have a recipe, I just recently got 18-hour bread without yeast. Anyway, okay, but the truth is it begins to rise before that. The ingredients are flour and water. When time is introduced, a number of things change, and it's very striking. Number one, the flour and water takes on a different surah, a different form. It takes on a different taste, and it takes on a different nature to how long it is. It is fresh. It takes on a different kiyum. It exists for a different amount of time. You know, you can keep matzahs on the shelf from year to year. Once you introduce time, and the matzahs rise into bread, they're perishable. They last a week or so, and you throw them to the birds. Right, so when you introduce time into your matzahs, you have a change in the tzura, the form, a change in the tam, the taste, and a change in the kiyum, how long it lasts. At the same time, what you've added, which is time, makes it more perishable. It destroys it faster. It might taste better at the onset. When you taste it, it might have a little bit of a better taste. But it perishes more quickly. It is less capable of existing, which means to tell us philosophically that introduction of time into the basic elements of flour and water is adding something that's not really true. It's sheker, because anything that is sheker is finite and dies fast and doesn't really exist, can't really exist, burns itself out, whereas something that's MS has a kiyum, it exists. It could exist for a very long time. As soon as you see the introduction of time and now it rots, you realize that there's something sheker about time. Now, when you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation, there can be no concept of sheker and emes at the same time. If Hashem is revealed and everyone sees Ein Od Milvado, there's no power in this world but Hashem, and every physical thing we see is just an expression of the will of Hashem that it should be there. That's emes. That was revealed at that moment of Chatzos. You cannot have time, because there is no time. In Hashem's world, it's all hove. And you cannot have the negative effects of time, which show itself up in bread. The negative effects which show themselves up as bread that rises and rots. However, what we have to focus on is the Rashi. Rabbi Yoshia Omer, this is a line down. Al tehikore et hamatzos. Don't read this ushamartem et hamatzos. Guard your matzos. Read it ela et hamitzvot. Guard your mitzvot. Kederach she'ein machmitzin et hamatzot, kach ein machmitzin et hamitzvos. Now, the way you do not allow matzah to become chametz by letting it be subject to the power of time, so you may not allow your mitzvahs to be chametz by subjecting them to the power of time. Now, we're familiar with this concept, right? Called a mitzvah haba liyadcha. We've heard it, al tachmitzena, don't let it go to chametz. Rashi says here, asei otam miyad, do it right away. We have a concept born from this, that if there's something negative about allowing time to work on the flour and the water, that it's a contradiction to the Gilui Shechina, it's a contradiction to MS, it's a contradiction essentially to the essence of what matzah is. The essence of matzah is flour and water. Everything else, the different tzura, the different form, the different taste, and the different ability to last on the shelf, all of that is a contradiction to the essence, which is water and flour. If you want to know what water and flour looks like and tastes like and how long it lasts, it's a matzah. The bread is a contradiction to that. The bread introduces something that is not part of the essence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation reveals the essence of the world, who runs the world, what this world is, how all things ultimately are the expression of Hashem's will, the essence. And that's what Hashem says, Ani ba'atzmi, I ba'atzmi, my essence. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo, bechvodo uba'atzmo, is essence. When the essence is revealed, as we said, there's no time, and the effects of time as it expressed in bread, which is generally the staff of life, are not permitted. We want to see things as they are in their essence. Now, what do we mean when we talk about a mitzvah? Don't allow time to affect a mitzvah. Somehow we must apply this same concept and say that if we allow time to be part and parcel of a mitzvah, then like time to flour and water, it adds a different surah, a different tam, a different kiyum, and it's partially sheker, and it's not the essence of the mitzvah, and it ultimately ruins the mitzvah. Allowing time to have an effect on the mitzvah will ruin the mitzvah eventually, just like the time with the bread, and will change its form and its taste. What do we mean by this? This leads us into the concept of zrizim, makdimim lemitzvah, right? We should always hurry to do a mitzvah quickly and not let it become chametz. This relates to the way they had to eat the Korban Pesach. What was the word? Bechipazon, quickly. And more than that, bechipazon, notice that, notice in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Lamed Gimel, when it came time for them to leave, the Techazak Mitzrayim al Ha'am Lemaher, they wanted to rush them out, but they didn't leave till the morning. There's a constant refrain here. Look at Pasuk Tes Zayin. Go back to Pasuk Tes Zayin. I'm sorry, in Perek, where is Vol Yechul Hisma Meya? Where is that? I'm sorry. Where is it? Velo yachlu lehisma mea. I will find it. Somebody will find the pasuk. Oh, here it is. Pasuk lamites. I'm sorry. Vayofu es habatzek asher hotziu mi mitzrayim ugos masos ki lo chametz ki garshu mitzrayim mi mitzrayim velo yachlu lehisma hamea. They couldn't delay. There's a constant emphasis on eat it quickly. Rushed out. Don't delay. It couldn't rise because they didn't have time. There, the concept of introducing time, as we've been talking about, as it applies to mitzvahs. Why do we want to do a mitzvah quickly? Bechipazon. It's the source of zrizus. That word here, bechipazon, to eat quickly, is the source of the concept of doing a mitzvah bezrizus. Why do we want to do a mitzvah bezrizus? The average person will say, well, they rush to do something because they're eager to do it. Either they're eager because they're excited about it, or they're eager to be finished with it, get it off their mind, but they're eager to get it done. That has nothing to do with our zrizus. Zrizim makdimim, the concept of doing things before they become chametz, has nothing to do with being eager to do them or wanting to get them done or being excited about them. That's normal human rushing. It has nothing to do with not allowing a mitzvah to become chametz. When we talk about adding something, in this case time, that is not part of the essence of the matzah or not part of the essence of the mitzvah, we mean like this. Anything that is part of the essence of a person's existence is not scheduled in time. For example, breathing. pumping your heart, loving your children. Anything that is basic and essential to the atzmius, to the ani of a person, is not going to be scheduled for a time. Anything else that a person chooses to make part of their life will be scheduled for a time. But the things we don't choose, the things that are automatic, are not. We don't relate to them in terms of finding a time for them. We don't say, at 3 o'clock I'll love my children. Okay, I'm honest at 4 and 4:30 and between 6 and 7. We don't schedule a time for things that are essentially the etzem of the person. The concept of a mitzvah is that mitzvos must become to a person so axiomatic, so basic to their nature, that they're not something we schedule into time. They flow naturally from us as our heart pumps and our lungs fill with air and all of our systems work and we love and we act, we're compassionate and we learn and we think. It comes natural. That is the way mitzvos must be done. That is how integrated we must make the mitzvah, the midah, the Torah that we're learning, so that it is beyond the confines of time, which means, of course it's done in time, we live in time. But the concept is, it is not, we don't think about it as scheduling a time for that mitzvah. We don't wait for a particular time for the mitzvah to now be, you know, now I'm available for it, or now's the time. It's something that's overflowing, bubbling out of the person, and sometimes we must hold back and wait on a particular mitzvah till a particular time because we are bound in halacha by times. There are times for Shabbos and times for Havdalah and times for eating chametz and times for eating matzah. There are times, of course, because we are victims of the bria called zman. But although we do live in a time-bound world, there is a part of us that relates to Hashem, the essence, the truth. And in that understanding, we are, for a moment, for a few days on Pesach, we try to remind ourselves that although we function within time, time is artificial. There is a world that is beyond time, the Olam HaEmest. And we call it, by the way, Netzach Netzachim. We call it a Yom Shekulo Aruch, a day that is entirely long, not many days. Here we only have Arichos Yomim, many days. But there we have Yom, one day, Shekulo Aruch, that is entirely long. The concept, as we said before, of Hova, of a never-ending experience. So though we function in time, the concept of not allowing a mitzvah to become chametz, of not eating chametz, of getting back to the matzah, which is the essence, not allowing the flour and the water to be subject to time, which changes it and falsifies it and makes it basically erode faster. That is the same thing with how we ultimately understand mitzvahs. By scheduling mitzvahs for a time, for thinking about them, you know, as something we add to our life, we've ruined them in a certain way. We've changed their tzura, their form, we've changed their taste, and we've changed their ability to last, to be eternal, just like the bread now with the rising now rots more quickly. For a person to key into, to be able to attach to the eternal part of themselves, the part that is forever, the part that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, part of that is the entire way we approach mitzvahs. Now there are people in this world that are so enthused, they are so in love, they are so completely integrated with the Torah and the mitzvos that they could barely stop the mitzvos from tumbling out of them. We've hopefully met people like this. There are people like this, that it's not something that they've decided to add to the routine, it's like the breathing that they do. This is the essence of the concept of not to allow a mitzvah to be subject to time. It should be the etzem, the essential truth, the nature, the basic personality of the human being. This leads us back to what we've been building on for weeks and weeks and weeks already. We spoke about it on Purim, we spoke about it by Har Sinai. We spoke about that famous medrash, let's repeat it one more time, that Hashem offered the Torah to the Jews and the non-Jews, remember? And the non-Jews said, what's in it? And he said, don't kill and don't steal. And they said, we're not interested. Hashem said, fine. He went to the Jews and we asked the question, which is what? They're chayiv anyway, so what did they gain from rejecting the Torah? They anyway have the seven mitzvos meino. So we built it up and we answered that what happened at Har Sinai was not giving of mitzvos. They were anyway those mitzvos for incumbent upon everyone. In fact, most of the Seres HaDibros, except for Shabbos, basically are incumbent upon everybody anyway. Okay, they have kibbutz of aim, they have not to serve idols, they have don't kill, don't steal, and don't commit adultery, they have justice in justice court systems. They basically have the same thing except Shabbos. So what did they get? So we spoke about the idea that what changed at Har Sinai between the Bnei Yisrael and the non-Jews, what we received and what they didn't receive is not the technical law, but the integration of the law into our personality, that it becomes us. We talked about, so rascha besoch mea, your Torah is like in my gut, in my innards, it's like part of my body itself. Matan Torah, where my grandfather explains, matana, that was the gift of Matan Torah. It's not separate, it cannot be separated or disentangled from the Jewish personality, from the Jew who is true to Torah. It cannot be separated, it is natural. We spoke about this also on Purim, and many applications to this concept. But here we see it again in terms of matzah and chametz. The same thing. The Gilui Shechina, the revelation of the essence of Hashem, that there's nothing but Hashem and Hashem's will in this world, demands that everything that is sheker disintegrates instantly. Just like when you have a dark room, you turn on one little light, there's no more darkness. The light instantly destroys the darkness. You don't even have to go out and eliminate the darkness as a separate act. It is eliminated by the light. So when there's a Gilui Shechina, the sheker is instantly disappears. It's neutralized. It's vaporizes instantly. You cannot have sheker and emes in the same place. So when you have Hashem's etzem, which is not bound to time and which is eternal, you cannot have things that are bound to time and that are finite and that are very death bound and in the process of eroding. And so this immediately leads, as we said, to the isur on chametz and the mitzvah of eating matzah and the mitzvah that Rav Yoshia says here, not matzos but mitzvos. This is the concept of zrizim, of chipazon, and this is why this all takes place lemala min hazman, not in time. Now we just want to end with a similar concept in this, in Vayakel Pekudei, we speak about the Mishkan. We have a very similar concept. As the Jewish people were born in a moment that was not within time, well, the Hakamas HaMishkan, the Mishkan was finally erected and set up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And within the Mishkan, there was another similar type of miracle, which is the miracle of the Aron and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was called Lamala Min HaMakom. It didn't take up any space. If you took the dimensions of the Aron, and then you took the dimensions of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, okay, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 10 amas wide, and the Aron was 2.5 amas wide, and we learned that from one end of the Aron to the wall was 5 amas, and from the other end of the Aron to the wall was 5 amas, but the Aron took up 2.5 amas. Where was the Aron? It was lamala min hamakom. It didn't exist in space. We know that as time is a creation, so space is a creation. Hashem is not contained in space. We know this. We've learned about this. And so here at Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we come to two ideas. When the Jewish people are established, we break the rules that govern normal functioning of physical finite things, time and space, which are the parameters, where and when. We don't even think, we can't think outside of those parameters. Every time we want to organize something in our head, we think where and when. Those are the parameters we must function within. But Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Parshas HaChodesh, reminds us that the Jewish people were created and they defy where and when. We exist as a nation without a makom, without our land for thousands of years, without a place. We defy the ravages of time. We exist. We are strong, and the core of the Jewish people are strong, still doing the same things we've been doing forever and ever and ever, still looking to the same end. And so Pesach is a time that we remind ourselves, and of course remind our children, starting now with Parshas HaChodesh, that the Jewish people are, we're human, physical human beings, but there's something supernatural about us. And when we eat only matzah and not hummus, we remind ourselves that we break the constraints, the basic constraints that govern most of the govern natural life, That is the secret of the Jewish people's eternity. And we have to understand this personally. And our own individual life and the way we apply this personally is the way we approach mitzvahs. That they do not become chametz. So we begin working on this now and preparing ourselves. And hopefully by the time we get to Pesach, we will have perfected this and just move on to the next madriga.